following is a presentation of the Match Talk Podcast Network.
Hello, wrestling fans. It's time for the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource was made that you as a wrestler, parent, coach, or fan can have access to all the resources of the very best in the world of wrestling. I'm three-time wrestling writer and broadcaster of the year, Jason Bryant, and I want you to join me, along with John McGovern and world champions Terry Brands and Dennis Hall, as we talk training tips, topical discussion, mental preparation, and more on the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource is sponsored by Defense Soap and Compound Clothing. Find World Wrestling Resource on Facebook at facebook.com/World Wrestling Resource and follow us on Twitter at WWRESO and, of course, on the web at WorldWrestlingResource.com. Now on to the show as we join John McGovern, Terry Brands, and Dennis Hall. And welcome to the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. My name is Jason Bryant, joined as always by University of Dubuque head coach John McGovern and world champions Terry Brands and Dennis Hall. Today, we talk mental toughness and mindset training. And before we get started, we'd like to let you know that we at the World Wrestling Resource believe responsibility, character, and leadership are the traits of a true champion. Champions become champions themselves. And as coaches, we provide the resources for champions. Integrity, excellence, and teamwork are the core values of the World Wrestling Resource, and this show sponsored by Defense Soap and Compound Clothing. I'd like to welcome you guys listening again. We will start with Coach John McGovern. John, before we start, you got a new addition to the family. Congratulations. Want to tell us a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, my wife just had a baby October 30th, John Mark, and it was a pretty gut-wrenching experience. I'm sure every father's went through that. Hoping the baby's healthy, and we're excited that it came out, and a lot of it, you know, about the mental part, going through that kind of adversity, faith in Christ goes a long way. You know, there's a lot of prayers going through that, and I think it can help people. The Bible has a lot of great verses for people, you know, that can help them. As a man thinketh, so he is, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and we said a lot of prayers, and think for other people's prayers, too. So, yeah, thanks for asking.
As Dennis Hall and Terry Brands have been known not just for their physical toughness, but for their mental toughness. And we're talking about strategies and things and maybe some insight, and Coach McGovern touched on inspiration where people draw their mental toughness. Before we get started about we implement that mental toughness, how do you train someone's mind to become mentally tough? Because we'll start with Dennis Hall on this, because a lot of these kids, when they come out for the first time, they're discovering the sport, and they may not be cut from a piece of granite, and they may not be tough right away. How do you train and teach someone to try to develop mental toughness at a young age and then see that blossom into the college and maybe beyond college levels?
For me, teaching mental toughness to kids, because I run a youth club, you know, a lot of times when a kid gets a little dinged up right away in practice for their first time, and it's either, you know, go sit on the sidelines or run to mommy and daddy, I keep them on the mat, and I just say, hey, how bad is it? They tell me, oh, it hurts, you know, and I say, you know what, you got two choices. You can either finish up practice or you can go sit on the sidelines. I always tell them, I know you're tough enough that you can finish it up. Hey, that choice is yours. I'm not going to make the call. So I think it starts with the way you're coaching, and, you know, trying to get kids to buy in that they are tough, you know, and a lot of times coaches give kids the opportunity to take the easy road out, and I put it on them, but I put it on them in a situation where they make the choice, and they can see either that I'm proud of them or I'm disappointed that they made the wrong choice. And for me, that's how I like to start out with the kids. And, you know, I always try and tell them we're working harder than every other kids club in the country. And so a lot of times we do extra stuff. We do things that are uncomfortable, but you're training their minds every single practice to be better than they were the day before.
And Terry, I guess you're part of the other side of the equation that we're talking about. I mean, the stories that you and Tom wrestling each other from the time you were basically coming out of the womb and just breaking down walls and things like that. Some of those stories might be over-exaggerated. Some of them might not be. You come from, I guess, a cut from the cloth that, you know, intense and mentally tough. What had helped you kind of develop that when you got into wrestling and helped you maintain that through your career as a collegiate athlete, an elite athlete, and now a coach?
as long as I can remember, we had our dad telling us that you get what you earn. It was never about what you deserve. It was never about life's not fair. It was life is life, and you get what you earn. And it depends on how bad you want something and whether or not you're going to be able to attain that goal. And I heard that from a really, really early age. And when I started going to wrestling camps, we would run into guys like Chris Campbell and David Mark Schultz, and they would talk about, you know, things like, I remember Mark Schultz in Sports Illustrated was quoted as saying, I'm only interested in winning, pinning, and scoring points, you know, when they challenged him on his ethics of breaking the guy's elbows and things like that. And I studied those guys intently and came to know that they did a lot of work with mental development. And it's a hard, hard thing to talk about. You have to have a situation where you can sit team members down individually and show them how to do it. There's a few ways to do that. There's a lot of ways to do that. There's a few ways that I've seen that are successful. I don't believe that there's only one way to do it. I think that our minds are geared differently as individuals. And I learned over a course of many years that you've got to get to know your student athlete or your athlete and then apply, you know, the things and tweak where the things that he needs help with, those type of things. But from a resource point of view, there's a couple of books recently that I picked up over the last 5 or 6 years that really was kind of a combination of what I was doing. And one of them was Brian Kane. It was called Toilet Bricks, Fish Hooks, and Pride. Then he had another book called So What, Next Pitch. And he's a baseball guy, but it really applies to settling during matches. It really applies to controlling the things that you can control. And then the other one was a book by Jason Selk that's called 10-Minute Toughness, and he brings you through a 10-minute routine of building toughness from your centering breath all the way down to your video highlight, or your visualization is the way that I learned it. He called it video highlight. And that was both those books, when I read them, was like, wow, this is like a hybrid of, you know, what I came to know as my mental toughness routine. And then on top of that is, you know, scripture, whether you're a believer or not, you know, scripture from Genesis 32, when Jacob wrestles the angels. I mean, the angel, the mental toughness that he had to hang on and not give up until he was blessed and that kind of thing. And if you go into an in-depth study about that stuff and you know, going into the New Testament and Peter talks about perseverance through the trials, self-control, discipline, you know, after you have that saving faith, you know, those things are huge in dealing with trials and tribulations and things of that nature. And then, you know, when Paul talks about making my body a slave, I beat my body, I make it my slave so that I don't, you know, fall short trying to become the best person that I can become and those type kind of things. So when you combine all of that with a guy that coached you named Dan Gable, you know, it's a pretty, I would say, a solid foundation of, you know, timeless principles combined with contemporary people that are taking those timeless principles and making them make sense to the culture that we live in today.
Coach McGovern, obviously with your background wrestling at the Division III level and coaching at the Division III level and competing with the Hawkeye Wrestling Club during your senior level years, what mental training aspects have you brought to your own personal life and that you teach in your wrestling room at Dubuque?
Well, I think through my career, like in college, it was really the Bible, and you go through seasons, when I went to the Hawkeye Club, it was Dan Gable, and learned a lot from him. I'd write notes. I remember one time at a practice, shot a shot on Travis Fizer, went to my knees. I thought, well, he's kind of bigger than me. And I heard Gable say, never concede. And I wrote that down. And I think he changed my thing from hopeful to expectation. I remember him saying something like, adversity, either you take it on or it takes you on. But get rid of the or. Take it on and take on your opponent and become more. But, you know, Then now in my collegiate, as a coach, we got to practice this stuff daily. You study the habits, but you practice it. And so being around Terry Brands and Dennis Hall are great guys as a resource, just to be around and listen to them. And there's always resources, and just make a study of it. But back in college at the Hawkeye Club, I mean, Maury Adams was huge in helped me in a lot of events. And he told me the difference between your personal life and competitive life. You know, in a marriage, it's win-win or lose-lose. In a match, it's win or lose, you or him. And, you know, your roommate's your friend in your personal life, but in the wrestling room, your roommate's not your friend. And in life, you got to negotiate and work as a team. And on the mat, there's no negotiations. And so he kind of helped my mindset. You know, sometimes you got wrestlers, their words become the way they behave. Their words become flesh. So changing those words. I had a wrestler, and we talk about character. We talked about the mental stuff with our guys, and we're always, as coaches, this is something that we have to continually develop because our wrestlers, their words are affecting them. I had a wrestler yesterday. He's saying, "Coach, I'm hitting my techniques." He was a lighter weight guy. Now he's bumping up to 97. He was an 82 state runner-up. But he said, "Coach, I got to have my technique perfect." I say, "Man, it's a brawl in there. Sometimes not perfect. And perfect is the enemy of excellence. Sometimes guys quit when they think they got to be perfect. So you got to be, you know, you got to kind of change the words. Like, yeah, excellence probably is a better word." So and that's something Maury Adams taught me. He said, you know, basically, you know, always try to be your best, but don't try to be perfect, because if you're always trying to be perfect, you end up quitting on yourself. So just some of those words and the people and studying that, and just Dennis Hall and Terry Brands, we've got, you know, you want to have great resources and you want to practice on developing your mental game as an athlete and as a father and as a coach pretty much your whole life. And that's hold every thought captive. If it's not working for you, you know, hold those thoughts captive, and getting in the Bible gets you pretty straight anyway, gets you where you're called to be. So I think those are some people that I look up to.
Now, Dennis, you were in a unique situation where it was widely known that you kind of were your own guy. You didn't really have a coach in your corner. When you did train, you'd go down and train with Terry, and you were kind of a loner in some respects. What did you have to do when you maybe didn't have a Gable type of reinforcement to build your own mental toughness and mental training?
When I was in the early 90s, BZ Hendricks came onto the scene with USA Wrestling and took some of the athletes and worked with us on our mental preparation. And for me, that was huge. You know, there were little things that he picked apart on me that changed the way I wrestled and the way I got ready to compete to wrestle. You know, part of it was one thing is just a set warm-up every single time, or as close to a set warm-up as it can get, so your mind doesn't wander when you're warming up and you don't start thinking negative. I noticed when I started doing a set warm-up all the time, I didn't waste as much negative energy because I knew what was coming next and I wasn't thinking about what my opponent was going to do. Another thing that he did is he made me write down 10 affirmations on how I wanted to wrestle. And these affirmations that didn't have to be true when I started them, but they had to be true as I got into the competition. And, you know, it's something that I was working towards, you know. So when I'd be warming up or right before my match, if I thought of something negative from my opponent, I'd repeat my affirmations in my head. And that would get me on a positive flow. And for me, that helped out a ton, because there's always times where your mind plays tricks on you and you start worrying about your opponent instead of about what you're going to do to your opponent. So he was very influential in that. He got me where every time there was a break in a match, I looked over to the corner, because I coached myself, and he trained me to look to see if my coach sees anything, and it's helped me quite a bit in my competition. There were a lot of little things that he was able to do with me, and I know a lot of people look at sports psychologists and they think, "Oh, you must have a problem, or you're going to one." And to me, that's not the case. Anything you can do to improve your ability to compete is worth checking into. It was, and I noticed that, you know, during my career, sometimes I wasn't on top of it with BZ. And at that point, I could tell, because something would unravel. I'd unravel. And, you know, it was all about keeping in the state of competition where you're in control, not where you're letting external factors control you. So it's just learning how to think. And for me, that was one of the best things I did in my wrestling career, is got involved with Beavy.
All right, Dennis, you've also implemented the REST program into your coaching and training situation. What does that program give you and your athletes as far as the mental approach, and maybe things that are tied to the mental approach but not necessarily 100% mental?
I think the big thing the REST program does is it helps you reflect on your own performance. So you take a match, you look at it, and you figure out why you were thinking the way you were thinking during the match, and you find out. For me, I did it a while back, did parts of it, and I was able to see that every time a typical example, a bone call, sometimes I was able to stay in there, but most of the times I'd let the bone call affect the way I finished the match. And I think, once you understand that, you can take that out to other areas of your life. And, if something doesn't go your way and you thought it was going to, you're able to deal with it in a more positive fashion. And for me, the REST program really helped me see that the way I competed is the way I kind of live my life. And it's not always good, because you can't be a pit bull. In everyday life, people don't like that. So trying to change that myself, the way I respond when things aren't going my way with average humans is a difficult process for me. But now that I see the way I have trained myself through wrestling, I'm able to look at things a little bit differently. So overall, it's just a great thing to give you another resource for your training and for life in general.
Now, when we're dealing with kids, Dennis, you're working with the younger kids, and John and Terry are working with college athletes in different levels of collegiate wrestling. But we're seeing an era where the video game generation, I guess, and you're seeing a lot more kids with a lot more distractions. I'm even seeing it with my own daughter, who knows how to work the iPad better than I do, and she's barely over two. So we're getting a lot more kids with distractions and hard work, unless you're from certain upbringing, certain parts of the country, I guess, to where farm life, for example, is part of growing up. You know, a kid that comes out that wants to wrestle at Iowa, for example, for Coach Brands, he's got to be a little bit more mentally tough than the kid that maybe hasn't had to work hard, or maybe hasn't had to come through adversity. Do you find that to be the case, Coach Brands, or can you teach mental toughness if they're maybe a little soft when they get to Iowa?
I think the answer to that is both ways, because here's the thing. I learned from a seminar I went when I listened to Scott Paoli, who was with the New England Patriots at the time. And he was talking about, you don't judge people by their upbringing. You don't judge people by the way that they wear their hair, or if they have earrings, or their skin color. You judge them by how they respond to adverse situations. So that's how you find the answer out in that. You could have a really, really tough kid that could make it at a certain place because of the way that he fits in. He could be a mentally tough person in a different program, and then maybe here he just doesn't like the feel or the vibe. He doesn't get the vibe, as they say. And so he can't, he can't understand why, it felt better on a recruiting trip at that place and it did it at this other place, or whatever the case may be. And that's going on your gut. That's going on understanding yourself and knowing yourself when you go into those situations. So, yeah, we got guys in here that, just recently, some of our freshmen, two of them for sure, were. When we recruited them, it was, I don't know if they're an Iowa kind of guy. Well, why not? Do they want to win wrestling matches? And then, once we got them in here, we're getting to know them, and they're awesome. They're doing a great job. They're some of the most responsive athletes that we have in our program from terms of, sticking up to adversity and things of that nature. So, I don't know if that's – I know that that's a statement that's out there, as they say, but I don't know if that's a true statement to say that you have to be mentally tough to wrestle at Iowa, because you are mentally tough if you wrestle anywhere. It's just, how good do you want to be? How good do you want that toughness to shine through? How hard are you training your mind? You know, the guys that are training their minds with their bodies, with their emotions, those are the guys that are going to be on that top standing contending every year. I didn't say it's guaranteed. I said contending every year for the top stand. The guarantee part will never happen. That's the test. That's a great thing about competition.
Coach McGovern, where do you see the, I guess, the learning curve when it comes to identifying kids or kids that develop that toughness in college? Do you find it to be ones that they get there and something clicks, or is it more of the kid that might have overcome some adversity in his life growing up that has a little bit more experience in training their mind to be like, I can overcome anything?
I mean, those are great questions. I mean, one of our national champs, Josh Terrell, he gets adverse and the different resources come into play. He tap on his finger, I can do all things through Christ strengthen me. And actually, he got that from Maury Adams at that event. So resources can always continue to be a resource. But kind of going back, I just want to go back a little bit with Coach Brandstand. Mike Mena and I talked about this. Mike Mena is my assistant. He's a four-time undefeated state champ from Illinois, about how big parents are for their kids and then helping them pick the right culture. And Mike Mena's parents told him to go to Iowa and take a half ride. And we talked about the culture and what he experienced at Iowa, the limited distractions, how you had so many guys that weren't drinking. The culture at Iowa was worth paying the price because you can never buy your character back. And parents have a big part of role modeling, not being distracted, of role modeling mental toughness, just like Kerry was talking about his dad, but then making sure they put him in with good coaches and mentors. And then Coach Mena talked about how he went to an all-Catholic school, and he said, you should put your kids in the right peer groups, in Mazzucchelli or certain. So those things, you can help your kids, you can't guarantee everything, but you got to practice it, role model it, and look for the culture that you're placing your kids in. And but there's no guarantee. So, yeah, I mean, we do have wrestlers that, I've had some wrestlers have some broken homes where, you know, there's single parents, and sometimes there's abuse, and then you got great parents. And sometimes it seems like their faith, or if they find Christ in their life, it seems to really be a strength that is as a rock, a solid foundation for whatever their background. So I really think if they have faith, it goes a long way. Now, when their parents, both their parents come in and you can see the respect they have for their parents and that relationship, I mean, you've got certain kids, you can just see it. But other kids, I think if they feel like it's the right fit, like Terry was saying, I mean, he's pretty much hit it right on. And then just kind of always reminding them, you know, you are responsible for your thoughts, you know, and hold them captive if they're coming from a place, and then try and replace them with an affirmation. When we go over affirmations, we go over, you know, clarifying, you know, what are you thinking so that you can replace those thoughts. So, you know, those words are powerful in their minds. If they think they're not good at something, Josh Terrell came in as freshman. It wasn't technique. He said, I'm not good on top. I said, well, those words are affecting your top game. And then we got him to believe that he could be good on top. He had picked one move, and he would be able to use a two-on-one tilt guy. So, I mean, the words are really important in their life and how they perceive themselves. And they're going to work hard. If they think they're a champion, they're going to work hard to back that belief system and not be found out wrong. So I think I saw, yeah, I was reading one of Dan Tudor's recruiting things about study that said that people on a beach, if somebody, they had these posers come by and steal a radio, if they watched them, 95% of them let them steal. They didn't want to, you know, because the guy was going to be violent. But if the person left, they said, will you watch my stuff? The person would step in almost every time because they gave their word and they want to follow through who they think they are. So if you think you're a champion, you've got a lot better chance of being there. So sometimes you got to act as if.
Now, one thing we know about the relationship between Coach Brands and Coach Hall is obviously with one being freestyle, one being Greco, you know, the similarities in the hand fighting and the styles are there, and then the mental mindset between the two. But some of it, Dennis, was an affirmation that it was a question to Coach Brands when you first met that kind of got you guys to click and start training together.
Yeah, the question was, you know, Terry, I think I'm crazy. I tell myself every day I'm going to be a world champion three times, and his response was, you're not crazy. I do it 10 times. And that challenged me. I mean, and that helped me see things differently, that, you know what, what you tell yourself is what you're going to become. And for me, I upped it. I immediately started doing it more. Because I knew that, you know what, if he's where he's at, why, and I tell myself the same thing, you know. So it was just following another guy, you know, another guy that I respected, that I believed in. And, you know, you can take it from any, you can take good ideas or thoughts from anybody.
Coach Brands, and with what Dennis is talking about, where did you get that I'm going to be I'm going to be a world champion 10 times a day? Where did that come from to implant itself into your mind for your mental toughness?
That was picked up from the things that I was talking about earlier, those wrestling camps and being around Olympic champions and world champions as their clinicians, and how they talked about how they set goals and, you know, had aspirations for themselves, and how you come to fulfill those aspirations. You have to back up what you're saying, and you have to say what you want, and then you have to go get it. You have to earn it, and those kind of things. And like I said, I heard that at a real early age. When I was growing up, also, my dad was crazy that way. You know, you will get what you earn, whether you get beat or not. That is on you. And it was a really, really good way to grow up from, you know, that in that era when it was really about what you deserve. And even worse now in the culture with what people think they deserve. But Dennis is somebody who I think the natural fit there was the bullheadedness that we both had, and the fact that we were in different styles just increased our relationship and love for one another. Because, you know, I hated him when I first met him, when I got
so did I. Him, I hated you
because
I remember wrestling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we were competing against each other and he was the enemy. And, you know, some of those things that Maury Adams was saying to John McGovern about, you know, wrestling's win or lose, to me, it's not. There's not an option to lose. It's not an option. And when you got a guy like Dennis Hall in your weight class, you know, you better do something about it. And that's how I approached it. And then when he went to Greco, and then, you know, how we met was at a poster shoot for that Garth Brooks poster they did after the 1995 World. And, you know, I was in the hotel room, and then all of a sudden he comes in, and I go, what the hell are you doing? And he goes, I'm your roommate. And I go, oh, my gosh, great. So I got up and went in the bathroom and started pulling on my bungee cord and turned the showers on hot and started pulling on the bungee cord. He comes in, and we're pulling on the bungee cord together, sweating, pummeling, speed pummeling, and doing things like that. And from that point on, it was, like Dana said, it was at Proverbs, you know, 27:17, iron sharpens iron, so one man another. And you do exactly what Dennis said. You follow. You find what you need, what you want, and then you follow that situation through. And then you have to lead it also. And that's really what this is all about. It's about leading when you need to. It's about following when you need to. It's about keeping your mouth shut when you need to as an athlete. And, you know, real quick, I'll just finish up here, but being around, as a coach, since we're a resource from a coaching point of view, being around your athletes every day, whether you're with a youth club or whether you're with a Division III or a national team in Russia, you have to get to know your athletes. You have to know what clicks. That's why the programs that are out there to say, you know, well, this is the one that I use and it works and I'm not open-minded to anything else. That's crazy. Because our minds are so different. You have to know. Some kids don't respond to, hey, good job, keep it up. Some kid needs to go, hey, get your head out of your rear end and get moving. You know, so you have to know, and that talk may be too harsh for, you know, somebody else. So you really have to get to know these guys personally and understand how to apply the things that, you know, you've used or the things that you've read about or the things that you've heard about. You can apply all of those things into your mental toughness routines as a coach, but you better know who you're talking to individually. You know, I remember one time when we were in a meeting with Gable on the team, and Gable grilled a guy, and he wasn't ready for it. The guy wasn't ready for it, wasn't ready to be grilled in front of the entire team, and it cost him his career here. He ended up leaving the program, and it wasn't anything Gable did. Gable was challenging him, making him, you know, become accountable and see where the error of his ways were. But the guy couldn't handle it. And had we done our work, you know, more as a coach in a lot of different circumstances, you know, we would go a lot longer ways with our athletes and getting them – to realize the potential that they have at their fingertips, and then ultimately where they become contenders in what they're trying to aspire to.
All right, John, I understand you've got a story to tell about kind of the same thing in dealing with the mental toughness in the athletes.
Well, I just remember a story when it was in Iowa. Gable locked in all the wrestlers in the sauna, and he closed the window, and you didn't know the time. And it felt like Gable a lot of times would do that, would not let you know the time, so everything was just being in the moment. But it I don't know if Terry remembers this, but it kind of broke out. I think there was a heavyweight that kind of started breaking down, and it kind of worked into a little bit of a brawl out there. But I think sometimes, like Terry said, the toughness has to come through getting tough. But I think Gable was the master of mental toughness, and I don't know if you could write books on what he would do there. But I just remember that story. I was wondering, Terry, do you remember that experience?
I remember it well.
Yeah. So that culture, when I was there, I remember the respect that brands would give people was based on your toughness and work ethic and fight, and it felt like that was what it was in the room. And it was a lot of less talk, more work. And I really respect that. I learned a lot there, and I like to continue being around that kind of mindset. I'd like to thank Terry and Dennis both for all your encouragement through even this tough time with the baby, and just want to get you guys in my life means a lot to me. I'll tell you that right now.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad to help out.
Thanks.
The guy named Gable, my coach, he was a master at psychology because he came to understand each guy on his team. He knew how to push a button. And it was different. The way that he treated me was different. I was never a close friend of his. And probably never will be. But that's what worked best for me. That drew me to him. I was always, in my mind, I was always like, well, I want the same thing that he's given to so-and-so. Well, why is he inviting so-and-so out to his house? And that drew me to him even more. And he knew that, I think. I'm sure of it. And the fact that he knew that, he could use that to draw me to that high level of mentality that he was after. But the other thing is you have to be willing to be held accountable. And the one thing with Gable is if he said something to me, I, by golly, took it to heart. If he told me to get my head out of my butt, I remember I went out of bounds against the Iranian. I was down 4-0, and he goes, hey, Brad, you better get your head out of your ass. And you know what? That's all he needed to say. And so if you were willing to hold yourself accountable to the standard that he was pulling for you to get out of yourself, you'd be fine. If you wanted to be a victim, then you could be a victim and woe is me and everything else. And that culture is hogwash, so we all know that. And that's what we got to purge from the society.
And again, the World Wrestling Resource, helping champions build themselves. You can find out all the tools that we've got with the World Wrestling Resource at worldwrestlingresource.com. Click on the resource tab. And also, it's an open forum. You can ask us questions by sending them your notes to the Facebook page at facebook.com/worldwrestlingresource or on Twitter at WWRESO. And Coach McGovern, as we close, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the resources we can find with the World Wrestling Resource?
Well, wrestlers can get help with their video analysis if they want technique. If they need help with their mental, they can fill out the factums. And our coach and staff, Dennis Hall, has done the rest program, can help them be aware of their thought patterns, help them think mentally tougher to be getting the results they want. And there's resources on technique, nutrition, mindset. So it's a whole well-rounded resource that offers another resource for wrestlers that are trying to reach a potential.